This week on the Nature Stories podcast, producer Jeff Rice treks through a prairie in Idaho in search of a howling mouse. Howling mice are about the size of a small hamster, are carnivorous, and are known to stand on their hind legs, throw their heads back, and howl. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you stories about the intersection of people and place. Up now, The Mouse That Roars by Jeff Rice with Hearing Voices.
Once, near the Henry Mountains in Utah, I thought I might have heard one, but it's like trying to take a picture of a ghost, and all that came through on my microphone was the steady croaking of toads. I wonder if I'll know it when I hear it. I'm in the Idaho desert on the edge of a giant sea of sagebrush. The pioneers here complained of monotony, blowing wind, and strange creatures. There was the jackalope, of course, and the four-toed Sasquatch, but I'm here for something even stranger, because it's real. To steel my nerves, I stop off for a drink along the highway.
Hello.
I'm in Atomic City, a town of about 25 people, 50 horses, and 3 bars. I'm on a quest, which some people here seem to think is pretty funny. I'll be setting up camp on the edge of town so I can hike through the sagebrush at night with my microphone. I'm excited because there have been some sightings. I've been told a few of them have been trapped near here.
I would dare say that's just a myth.
Outside in the desert, it's pitch dark. There are little red eyes peering from the dry grass. They could be almost anything. But I know that somewhere in the sagebrush, a northern grasshopper mouse is howling.
It's a northern grasshopper mouse.
This mouse is about the size of a small hamster. You can find it in the sage prairie in places like Idaho, Utah, and Oregon, and on into Texas and even as far north as Minnesota. It's one of the few carnivorous mice, thus its name. It likes to eat grasshoppers and scorpions and even other mice. But what makes this mouse interesting, to me at least, is its call. According to reports by biologists, it waits for the dark of night, gets up on its hind legs, throws its head back, and
howls like a wolf.
One of the first biologists to make note of this behavior was Vernon Bailey. In 1931, he wrote that its howl was as smooth and prolonged as the hunting call of the timber wolf, and that it is made with raised nose and open mouth in perfect wolf form. Today, biologist Robert Sykes studies grasshopper mice at the University of Arkansas.
The mouse will kind of sit back on its hindquarters, point its nose towards the sky, and howl. Another posture I've seen is where the mouse actually stands up on its hind legs, forepaws completely off the ground, standing up almost vertically, and again points the nose towards the sky and howls. Yeah, it's very much like a canid howling at the moon.
Oh, it's definitely real.
That's Tommy Findlay. He's a graduate student in Dr. Sykes' lab.
I don't think there's anything supernatural or anything like that. I think it's completely natural for this animal.
Sykes and Findlay have been making recordings of grasshopper mouse howls in the lab and were kind enough to give me some. Recordings are extremely rare. According to all the experts I spoke with, none of them knew of a recording of the howl that had been made in the wild. There's a pretty good reason for that. Here's what the recording from the lab sounds like. Did you hear that? Maybe not. Here's the thing. As mighty as the howl is, it's really, really high-pitched, and that's a problem for our puny human hearing. We hear frequencies as high as 20,000 hertz, and that's if you have just about perfect hearing. The grasshopper mouse howl gets up to almost 14,000 hertz. Hear it on your car radio? Not likely. It works better if I lower the pitch by slowing it down. There you have it, the howling mouse of the prairie. So here I am out in the desert trying to capture it on tape. Nearby, what look like two owls fight in the darkness. But the grasshopper mouse remains elusive. If I want to be assured of hearing one in person, I need to go a little farther afield.
Okay, we're in the Basic Animal Services Unit at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. We are housing currently just slightly over 600 of these grasshopper mice. These are northern grasshopper mice, Anichomyces leucogaster.
At exactly 7:30 every night here, the lights go out in Dr. Sykes' grasshopper mouse lab, and every night the howls begin. These mice are nocturnal and are most likely to howl in the darkness. So here we are, surrounded by hundreds of mice in cages in the pitch black.
I can't see my microphone in front of my face.
Suddenly, Dr. Sykes becomes very excited.
Right now, they are vocalizing like crazy in this room. We simply can't hear it. We hear the tiniest, tiniest tip of the iceberg of what's actually going on. You can hear the mice moving around a lot more.
Yeah, do you hear them?
Mostly what I'm hearing is the chewing of food pellets, and I admit that trying to listen to sounds that other people don't hear is the definition of insanity, especially when it comes to howling mice. Just ask graduate student Tommy Finley.
You're talking about people think you're crazy. Really, they think I'm crazy to spend my Friday and Saturday nights up here listening to grasshopper mice howl all night. So.
But then every once in a while, out of the darkness, there's a prolonged squeak like a rusty hinge.
He howled right there.
You see?
Yeah.
In fact, what's happening is one mouse may be starting a call, a long, loud call, and then immediately one or more mice will join in.
A pack of mice howl wolf-like in the dark. It is all that I had imagined. The meaning of the howl seems pretty apparent. Scientists think that it is territorial in much the same way that a wolf's howl is territorial. Grasshopper mice have large ranges for their small size, up to 5 acres, and the high-pitched howl will carry over a large distance. Dr. Sykes says the fact that a mouse howls and even looks like a wolf when it's doing it makes perfect sense.
That would be the posture that I would take. You want to channel that emission where there's going to be the least interference, i.e., up, not down into the ground, not into vegetation, but get it up. So I think that posture is probably correct. Also, if someone's going to sing, if you watch singers, typically they don't sing sitting down.
It's comforting to know that the same laws of nature that govern wolves also govern mice and men. I'm Jeff Rice in the Idaho desert.
Support for this podcast comes from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. Go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org, to hear more pieces like this one. If you have thoughts or feedback, please write to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a new Nature Stories podcast.